Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene in chronological order, because we are descending into madness. Slowly. I am Anthony DeSamito.
And I am Teresa Lufo, filling in for Genevieve Rice.
Because Genevieve is, unfortunately, sick today.
Yes, yeah. We're very sad, but I am so excited to be here.
We're very excited that you're here also. And we're also excited because we have a very special guest. He's very awesome. Love him to death. We have the very funny, awesome improviser, the very awesome Bob Fisher.
Hey, hello. Hello. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for taking my Golden Girls virginity from me. Breaking my Miami hymen.
Your Miami hymen? Miami?
That's a different spelling of hymen. Hymen. We're going to Miami. Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Thank you. So, Bob, we usually start off by asking our guest what has been their past with the Golden Girls, or just peripherally for you.
Yeah, and that's the truth. This episode is the first episode of the Golden Girls I've ever watched.
Oh my goodness.
Almost all of the people I've seen in something else or knew of from something else, like Maude, you know, and all that. But yeah, this is the first time I've ever seen an episode of the Golden Girls.
How did you feel?
I loved it. I regret all of my choices from the 80s. Why was I not at home? Was it a Saturday night?
It was Saturday night.
Why was I not watching this on Saturday? Was it a CBS show?
It was on ABC.
ABC? Oh, man. What was it on right after? Do you know?
I think it might have been like Night Court or something.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. That would be powerful. Night Court? That's like John Larroquette, right?
I think Matlock was around.
Matlock.
Was around that time. Prime time schedule for this demographic that they needed to tap into, you know, the older people.
And we off camera, we talked about how we're from different age demographics. And so, yeah. When this show happened, I was out on a Saturday night.
Yeah. You were getting crazy.
I'll never remember what I did on the night this show aired. And I'll never forget this episode now. So I regret my choices.
No. You probably should have been doing what you're doing. This is all of those experiences led you to here. So
and
that's
how you know about the Golden Girls.
Right. Oh, all right. So that's it. I'm very excited.
Yay! All right. So we watched. We have a lot to talk about.
Oh my gosh.
It was Saved by the Bell meets Golden Girls meets like the Alien Gonzalez story. It was a smorgasbord of very politically charged discussion, and then some slavery.
Yeah, I was going to say slavery heavy.
Some good Civil War references. Yeah,
a few Civil War references.
Some amazing fashion.
Amazing fashion as usual. So the episode is season 2, episode 21. It is titled Dorothy's Prize Pupil. And the original air date was March 14th, 1987, 27 years ago, just over 27 years ago.
Yes.
And Bob was telling me something really interesting.
Yeah. We were talking about this before you got here, that in March of 1987, outside of the Golden Girls, there was an event where Ronald Reagan spoke to, you know, the American people, because there was this whole issue about were we trading arms for hostages in Iran, and he had come out and said we're absolutely not doing that. But then there was this investigation that proved that yes, they had been, and he gave this speech and he said this totally weirdly phrased thing. This was before we knew he was getting Alzheimer's, right? But I wrote it down because he said about whether he had done it or not.
Right.
He said, "My heart and my best intentions still tell me that's true, that he hadn't. But the facts and the evidence tell me it is not."
Oh, my God.
So, basically, he's like, I really think I'm still innocent, even though the facts tell me I'm guilty.
He was losing his mind.
Yeah.
Did he have a speechwriter?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right? He was the great communicator. But at that point, Oh, it's such a weird speech because it's so folksy. And there's another weird thing. I mean, this is sort of modern politics, but it's about hostages, right? And he at some point in the middle, he says, we're going to try to get those people home. But he says, but let me caution you. When Americans go to places overseas that are dangerous, they're responsible for their own safety.
What?
And like, if you bring that forward to the present day where all the Republicans are crazy for what happened to four people in a dangerous part of the world, you know, it's like one of your great leaders kind of said, you take risks.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's...
yeah. 27 years ago, you guys pretty much said that they're responsible for their death, their own death out there.
You take some chances.
In the end, they reference Nancy Reagan in this.
Yes.
Yes, they
which
did.
Was like kind of strange that there would be, you know, plugging the president
right
at this moment in time.
I don't know.
So,
episodes are this reference heavy, because there were a ton.
Oh my gosh,
so many.
Yeah, like what?
So many jinx. All right, so the episode opens up with Sophia is getting ready. She's ready. She's ready to go. She's gonna meet the president.
He wants to see his wife.
He doesn't care so much about Ronald Reagan, but he loves Nancy Reagan, who she thinks is Jane Wyatt for some reason.
Yes.
Is she losing her mind too?
She's quite old.
It's a subtle play on Alzheimer's.
It probably is.
I don't know who the president's wife is, and neither does he.
Neither does he. Right. Maybe he was on television saying, yeah, I'm married to Jane Wyatt, losing my mind. But then it turned out to be Jane Wyman that was in Father Knows Best, and that's why she liked Jane Wyatt. But it's Jane Wyman, and then it just went into like the slew of like names.
And it was quite weird because it seemed like Rose knew what she was talking about more than Sophia for the first time ever.
Usually Rose is not smart.
Yeah.
And Rose,
she's
doesn't know who anyone is. Yeah. So she's like, no, you're talking about Nancy Davis. No, you're talking about Betty Davis. And like, that was really strange. And it was very like vaudeville, like who's on first kind of.
Oh, right. Completely like wordplay. Then Joan Crawford, then Broderick Crawford, which is like, even from that show, was reaching about 30 years behind that show. I guess the retirees, right? So
right. And then they were like, this one thing, and then Sophia says, this one thinks that the president is married to Broderick Crawford.
Right.
Which is like, then who ran against Reagan that?
Mondale. Right.
And so she's like, they reference the previous election and say, wow, that we voted a gay president. Like, Mondale's an idiot for being, for losing. Like,
oh my gosh. Yes. And this was a very Sophia light episode, so I feel like they were just trying to give her some like comedy.
Right. Let's
real
give
quick.
Her a joke up front.
Give her some
and then
real
let
quick
her
jokes.
Go.
Yeah.
Right.
So then she leaves for most of the episode.
And also, how is she gonna see, like, okay, I don't know, okay, I don't know how she's gonna see the president. Like, can you just go to the hotel and meet the president? I don't think she's meeting the president.
Wasn't he doing a speech?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was. She was going
was
to watch him give a speech. I think it was that speech that they were literally referencing. That speech,
right? Because he was in Miami during that speech.
Yeah,
I don't know. So Blanche wants her earrings back from Rose.
Well, she comes out and in this red dress, and Rose says, "That's a very risque outfit," and it's like the worst not risque red dress
like
ever.
Polyester,
right?
Or Kiana, I think.
Like
classic.
Shoulder pads to the max.
Yeah, and it's like ruffled. It's like curtain layered.
But it is red. I don't know if that matters. Red. I mean, but somehow, yeah.
For Rose, I think it's a little risque, because Rose is just so innocent that seeing anyone in red showing cleavage, they're the devil. Automatically.
Yeah.
She wasn't even showing cleavage, I don't feel that.
Yeah,
I feel like it was like
I know,
very
that's
high.
The thing. It really isn't a very risque dress at all.
Yeah.
No, it's a nice dinner dress.
But they play it well. She says, that's a very risque dress. She says, Thank you.
I know.
I really got sexy and hot.
Because like, Blanche is...
Having never seen the show, I didn't know it was a super hot retired woman on this show.
Right?
Who's super slutty.
Super She's slutty.
Super slutty. There
oh my is, God, it's so great.
There's She's so many slutty. Slut jokes in yeah. Golden Girls about yeah. Blanche.
Oh, it man. Is, Mm-hmm. But she's liberated, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like in control of yeah. her vaginas. I think her vagina controls her, but still it's a part of her.
Yes.
So she's in control.
Yes. she's not afraid to go after what she wants, which is apparently a lot of dicks.
A lot of
inside
dicks.
Her.
A lot of retired.
Yeah. A lot of retired dicks. She's going to this party, which she doesn't invite anybody, which I'm assuming it's some sort of like Bukkake party or
yeah.
like wow. no one's invited.
Wow, there's a lot of kind of parties between, you know, like cake party and bukkake party right, yeah. that you could have chosen.
I'm assuming it's some sort of orgy because none of the other women were invited. She
it's
says
it's probably an orgy. You're probably right.
Probably an orgy. That guy is involved. Like it's probably like that guy probably the, you know, Sam Burns from the very end.
Yeah. Ooh.
Like he's jerked off on he's group jerked off, I'm sure. In
he looked like he did.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why the earrings got lost.
Yeah.
And the watch got lost. That there was some sort of...
they were submerged.
So, yeah. They were...
Couldn't
they were,
find them.
They couldn't find them through the twisting of the hands and the body parts.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I liked how they mentioned Julio Iglesias. Because it's like, all right, we're going to ease them into the Mexicans. And then we're going to show them Mario Lopez.
Yes, Mario Lopez is on this episode. It's the best.
We just want to show you guys that we're pro-Mexican, that they wanted to go see Julio Iglesias concert. And then it turns out that Rose lost her earrings that she borrowed, her silver earrings, which later we find out that... We don't. Sorry, spoiler alert, people, if you haven't watched this episode.
Yeah,
they get, you know, she doesn't, she turns out that she
Blanche
didn't.
Blanche lost the earrings Blanche while she was having sex.
With Sam Burns.
With Sam Burns.
In a bukkake orgy.
In the bukkake orgy, yes.
Okay. And so.
And there's a great bit that becomes this running gag, this visual bit.
Yeah.
Where it's Rose, right, who has lost the earrings or thinks she's lost the earrings. She
yeah,
borrowed them
Rose's.
And returned them, right?
Yes.
And then she... is saying, oh, I'll find them for you. I'll find them in a, I'll find them for you by, and she looks to her wrist for her watch, mm-hmm. and her watch is missing too.
Right.
So this whole idea that she's totally absent-minded, she loses everything.
Right.
It was pretty cool.
It was
And they
cool.
kept bringing that back, and, you know, someone's writing in comedy, it's great to see, like, just a visual bit
yeah.
that she repeated two or three times, right?
That
it's
never
cool.
gets really rough. Like, they didn't have to say watch at all.
That's right. She played it so well. It was
yeah.
very cool.
Mm. Yeah.
At first, okay, watching this at first, I watched this episode before, but it's been a while. But at first, I was like, are they trying to imply that Mario Lopez stole, like,
oh,
all
stuff?
The stuff?
I absolutely.
Did you think that too?
Completely.
Okay.
Completely
Anthony, we forgot
that.
To do a synopsis of the entire episode.
Oh, we did.
Do you want me to do it really
oh,
quick?
Okay. Yeah, let's just do it real quick.
Okay. Right, so basically, sorry if we've confused you at this point, right. but basically, there's two things happening. There's a thing with Rose and Blanche happening where Blanche thinks that Rose has lost her earrings because she loses everything.
Right.
So Rose feels really bad about this, and she says that she will be Blanche's, what was the word for it?
Vegan Flugen.
It's basically like your personal slave and will do anything for her, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week that we said we thought
yes.
Blanche makes Rose do many personal special favors
right.
for her.
Right.
So that's what's happening with that part of the episode. And then also we have Mario Lopez,
oh,
who Dorothy is tutoring
Come on,
for
so
days.
Cute.
He is about, I would
awesome
say...
Awesome clothes and hair.
Yeah, 15 years Jerry old.
Jerry curl mullet.
Yeah, a true teenager.
Years old.
He's not playing a teenager.
Yeah.
He
oh,
is
he's
a
got,
teenager.
Got like a totally Jerry curl
yeah.
mullet. It's freaking amazing.
Yeah, it's a drippy mullet. It's like...
Yeah.
You know it's dripping down the back of his upturned
it's
collar
like
on his denim
a melting
jacket.
Ice cream cone on his head.
Oh, sweet. And shiny.
It's
yeah,
shiny.
It was super but, shiny. Super shiny.
Yeah, he's so cute.
So 80s.
He's got like two emotional moves, and one is being cute.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Cute and then angry.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
And also like kind of douchebaggy.
Yes. Yes. He's a very bad actor.
Very, very bad.
Very bad.
Anyway, but go on.
Okay, so She is tutoring him, and she has entered him in a contest to write a story, and he wins the contest. And then immigration finds out that he might not be in the country legally, so he ends up having to go to court, and they go with him, and it's a whole thing. He ends up being deported in the end. Spoiler alert. Yeah. And everyone is very upset. And at the end, we find out, as you said, spoiler alert, that Blanche lost the earrings being a slut. Rose didn't really lose them, but she also borrowed Rose's watch. Yeah. And lost that in the gross man's.
Right. So great.
Yeah, so it was the payoff at the end. You think that that Rose is just absent-minded and loses everything, but really Blanche loses everything because she's doing slutty. A lot of guys.
And in the final turnaround, Blanche becomes Rose's Wiedenfrüdin.
Yeah. So she has to do things for her.
Yes.
Yes. Yay. That's a wonderful synopsis.
Thank you.
Okay. And you learn that don't submit articles to magazines because the IMS is reading them all.
Exactly.
That is what just got like, oh my God. We have to talk about, we'll talk about that, but it is ridiculous. INS fucking just reading articles like.
Yeah. And their door-to-door service.
Yeah.
We're looking for someone who we think might
come
be
with me?
Visiting here.
And then we'll let you go and say bye to all your friends.
And get a tie.
And get
he
a tie.
He looks so good with the tie and the jacket, right?
Right.
He
a good much sexier
good
look.
Deportation outfit.
He looked like he was in 12 Angry Men. He was just like this like sweaty like juror.
And I felt like there was some weird sexual tension between Dorothy and Mario.
I thought that too. Like, why is he at her house? And why is he like going into their house without permission? Anyway,
and did you notice that? She calls him Mario. Everybody calls him Mario.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the episode, as if she's finally becoming sensitive, she starts calling him Mario. She calls him Mario the whole time.
Mario,
she's the only one.
I didn't notice that.
And she changes.
That.
Yeah, she learns.
Mario.
She grows.
Mario. She grows.
Mario.
Well, like I read that Dorothy would take him out to lunch to help him learn his lines. That's what I read about
in real life.
Like she took him under her wing. So who knows what was happening there? You know. Casting couch, I don't know.
Yeah,
possibly.
How did he, if he couldn't learn his lines, how was he hired? Also, I like that he has the same name.
Right.
As his
like
character.
They couldn't get any creative about what to name him.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Or like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt when like they casted Titus Burgess and then he has the name Titus in the like that's his real name.
Yeah.
Like Titus. So it could have been one of those situations, but I don't think. Anyway. So there's so many things to talk about.
I can't even.
Right. So they go into the kitchen and Mario Lopez is in there. And your face, Therese, when we saw Mario Lopez was like amazing.
I think I laughed so hard that I cried. At some point I was laughing so hard that I was crying.
I think you were crying when, like, he got deported. Like, when that guy came, you were like, I can't handle this.
Yeah. Okay, go on.
It was so incredible. Okay, and so Mario Lopez. Okay, so Dorothy's, like, helping him with his math, which, first of all, he's like, she's an English teacher. I don't understand why she's helping him with his math. And she's a substitute teacher.
Right.
So I also don't understand why she's like, is it one of those 2 month substitute gigs, you know?
Right.
And so, okay. And so she's helping him with his, with checking the grammar of his story. It was a story, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I keep wanting to say poem for some reason. But
it was a short story.
A short story.
Very short story.
Very and short.
Okay. And in third person.
Yes.
Which means it could be fictional. Which, like, when INS is reading their daily short stories by middle schoolers.
Right. Yeah, like, in highlights for children.
In highlights whatever, for children.
You know, Reader's Digest.
Yes. Right.
Like, why?
Like, if they see a story that's in third person, like, what was the headline, like, immigrant wins contest? I don't understand.
Yeah,
like how was there a whole article written about it, like an expose?
They're all coming over to take our jobs and our essay prizes.
or essay prize. An American could have won that essay.
I know, right? Oh my God. I wrote down here about when they read the short story out loud that he wrote his face. I just wrote face of Mario Lopez because he was so into himself.
He was so like cocky, like, yeah.
But it was very overacted as well.
Overreacting.
That was the part where it was like, oh, he's only got cute. Because he's like doing this like, look at how cute I am, smiling kind of thing.
Like he knows he's cute and he's like, I'm just going to shake my head to the left.
And he used the same face for like three different beats of that moment where he's like, no, you can't read it. You have to read it from the top if you're going to read it at all. It'd be better if I read it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, look at me. Oh, man.
He's just like, over, like they say, don't act, react. He doesn't react. He overreacts.
Yeah.
He's just like, I don't think he's even reacting. I think he's just in his own world.
Yeah.
Like, and he did that all through Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, for sure.
All through Saved by the Bell, the worst acting.
Really?
Like, when he's like, I'll just come back in, unsuspiciously, like, just doesn't know how to.
Yeah, it's almost like
sentences.
Theater acting, which a lot of the Golden Girls, they do a lot of overacting, theater acting, because, you know, first of all, it's filmed live, and a lot of them were from theater, but it's almost like he's trying to do theater acting, but he's not doing it well.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, he looks like when a character on a TV show is bad acting, it's like auditioning for a play and they're a bad actor.
Right.
That's what he looks like.
Exactly.
He's doing.
Yeah, but in his defense, he's a true teenager. And if I think about other teenage actors from sitcoms from that era, they're all horrible.
Were they all
horrible? All so sucky.
All Saved by the Bell actors were horrible. Like,
yeah, for
all
sure.
Of them.
For sure.
There was no moment where you're like, wow, that was really good. You know?
Some sort of like artificial cuteness, sassiness, smart aleckiness was like every teenage character had to have that. They had to be smarter than they're supposed to be.
But
he
was like not humble at all about like getting help or being in the like he was almost probably like bragging to his Mexican or Cuban. I don't know.
I got a girlfriend.
Was it?
I got an American girlfriend.
He did have an American girlfriend. But he's probably calling his, like, well, he was Mexican, right? Can we say he was Mexican?
I mean Blanche.
Or Cuban.
I mean Dorothy.
Dorothy.
Not the other one that we hear.
Oh, not Barbara Thomas?
Barbara Thomas. I can't wait till we get to Barbara Thomas.
You know, Barbara Thomas, maybe she's a decoy because she's fucking Dorothy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She's like, Mario, come in here. Let me show you what we do in America.
We'll do in America. He seems like the kind of kid that would like brag to his like Mexican friends that I'm an American citizen, like that I'm an American now. And then, wha-bam, karma's a bitch. Because he was just, first of all, he didn't have an accent, which really bothered me. Because when he said adios, teach, he said it like a white person. Adios, you don't say adios.
Right.
You say adios if you're Mexican.
Right.
You don't say adios, teach, like a fucking football jock douchebag.
American
like he was
born, for sure.
Yeah. Like they couldn't find a Mexican actor kid. And this is the closest they could find. And so
you're like, this kid's going to be a star.
This kid.
This kid and his mullet are going to be a star.
This kid is definitely ethnic. So we're going to cast him regardless of him not speaking with an accent.
Right.
Right.
Oh, man. Just so weird. And regardless of his like, let me put on my thinking face. Like, you know what I mean? Let me put on my you know? Whoa. Like, that's what
Move
he does.
Move my eyebrows when I talk like, because that is acting. Oh, man. No wonder he never had, like, an acting career after being a child because he was just not. Maybe he realized that he wasn't a good actor. He's like, I'm going to go host TV shows.
So there was Saved by the Bell, which I also didn't watch. Then there was Saved by the Bell, The College Years. Was he on that?
I don't think he was.
I don't think so.
Yeah?
Because I think Zach Morris and Kelly, went to the same college, but I don't think A.C. Slater did, which was his
Slater?
Character. He's A.C. Slater.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening more than I'm talking. I'm trying to.
But, okay, also, 2 years later, he was cast in Saved by the Bell, which means that he had to, like, get ripped in 2 years. Because on Saved by the Bell, like, he's, like, a heartthrob.
Oh, yeah? He's hunky?
Yeah. He's, like, muscular. Like, he is incredibly...
He's, like, built.
Built.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, when he comes into the show, Zach Morris is, like, the big man on campus, and A.C. Slater comes in, which is Mario Lopez, and he's threatened by him because he's hotter than him. And and so, yeah.
That's exactly.
Really, that is really pathetic when you think about it. I mean, yeah, some of that does actually happen in high school, but a show about high school where one of the key issues is I'm threatened by this guy because he's hotter than me.
Yeah, right. It's a little ridiculous.
It's like porn. Right. It's like kiddie porn.
It is kiddie porn.
I've watched the show. I bet it's great and uplifting.
It's not great.
It's not, though. That's the thing.
It is the worst show.
It's so bad. Like, when you're like 14, you're like, oh my God, the best.
Seeing this actor, Mario Lopez, and then
bulked up.
Times 20. All of the actors are horrible, and they're trying to maneuver through high school, and it's unrealistic.
I only really know him as like from Extra, right? Is he on the show, right?
On Extra.
Yeah.
Like
as
an adult.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my take on the
game. He's a better host because hosts are allowed to be like cheesy.
He's affable, is what I would say. Affable Mario Lopez.
He's palatable as a host.
Yes, exactly.
He's laughable as an actor.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so, what happens next? Blanche borrows Dorothy's earrings, and then she mentions the Civil War in this scene.
Oh my God!
Where she's like telling Rose that it's okay. I never meant to keep those earrings my entire life.
Right.
Like my mama did and my great grandma did. Like she fashioned them from bullets in the Civil War after the bullets that killed Grandpappy.
Yes.
Yes.
And so
these are a family heirloom.
She's wearing earrings of like
first
bullets
off,
that
gold,
killed
first
someone.
First off, they're gold earrings, right?
They were silver, I think.
Oh, they were gold when he brought them over.
Yeah,
I think.
She borrowed silver earrings.
Were they really?
Yeah, they were gold.
No way!
Yeah, they were definitely gold.
No. I am so mad.
Did they say silver, though?
She borrows silver earrings from Dorothy.
Dorothy.
But the ones that he brings back are definitely gold.
Yeah, they're gold.
Right.
And so it's like, what gold bullets?
How can you fashion gold earrings?
They don't kill werewolves or anything.
Her grandpa was a werewolf.
That's why the South lost. They only had golden bullets. There's so few of them.
You know what would be great? A Civil War like TV show where like the South is werewolves and the North is vampires.
Oh yes. If you make this show, can I be on it?
Yes.
I would be a vampire.
Like
though.
The werewolves like are for slavery.
Yeah. The werewolves are the bad ones.
Wolverine. Okay. So that's the first mention of the Civil War in this episode. And then
but not the only one.
Not the only one.
Not
okay.
All
right. And then Rose starts to explain what a vegan flugan is.
Yes.
And then she does it through this story where Uncle Ben, who had a fake leg, cousin Lars borrowed it and lost it. And that's why he couldn't win a toboggan race. Which I think you could still ride a toboggan with one leg, right?
Yeah.
I think you could.
That was clearly an excuse for losing the toboggan race. Also,
right.
Who borrows a wooden leg?
Right.
Right? The guy without a wooden leg is like, I've got a big knife.
And he used the leg.
Yes.
To literally beat off wolves.
Yes.
Uh-huh. There you go.
I can't believe Blanche didn't get moved by that line. Beat off wolves.
I know.
Why, never.
I've never tried it, but I would.
The wolf was her grandpappy.
Oh.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. And so she's like, Rose is like, I'm going to be your vegan flugan. And at first, Blanche is like, I don't really feel comfortable with that. I don't feel comfortable with the concept of slavery, right?
Right.
Until she does.
She's very comfortable with it, actually.
Then she
That's
gets.
The truth.
Then she. Then it's very natural for mm-hmm. her. It just comes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Comes very naturally yeah. to her.
It's like riding a bike.
With one leg.
With one leg. Ah! Lars couldn't ride a bike. Uncle Ben couldn't ride a bike. Because of the one leg. Okay. And so the next scene, they're out in the patio. Oh, no. Then Dorothy says, I'm going to enter him into that contest without his permission.
Right.
Right. Right.
And so so that is going to occur. And so that's important for later. And so then they're out in the lanai, and Sophia's like burning up. Like she needs to get out of the sun.
Yes.
And they're trying to help her up.
Oh, man. And she totally looks like she's dead.
Like she's in a
gigantic muumuu. Her face is entirely gray. Her hair is entirely white. She just looks like a corpse. It's so disturbing. I guess if you watch the show all the time, you're used to her. But right. I'm looking at this, it's like, oh. And you know what's weird about Estelle Getty is like, there's this tradition of like sassy old people, but also sassy 5-year-olds in like yes. depression era movies, TV shows. Like she talks like one of the Little Rascals.
Yeah, right? She is like a sassy 5-year-old.
Oh, and it's so disturbing.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Which Little Rascal would she be?
Oh,
I think she'd be like a boy.
Yeah, exactly. She wouldn't be Darla.
Not Darla.
And she wouldn't be Buckwheat or Alfalfa. Spanky.
Spanky.
She'd be like
She's
Spanky. She'd be like, what are y'all doing talking like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, talking like a 30-year-old New Yorker. Like, just like, hey, what do you got?
I'll tell you who's irritated. My artificial hip.
You call that a fake leg? And so, and so they're fighting over whether or not she's going to be her vegan flugan. And then finally, Blanche says, fine, whatever. And then Dorothy, she comes in and she's like, guess what? Mario won the contest. It's super cool. And so they're like, all right, let's throw a party for him.
Right.
Right. And so I think that's pretty much what happens in that scene.
I think Blanche offers to Dorothy that she'll help plan the surprise party. Yeah. And then she says, Rose, plan a party. Yeah. Because she's now taking ownership over this slavery.
She's loving
of
it.
Rose. Yeah. She's loving it.
And there's all these tidbits that grow over the episode of like things that she's been doing off camera, like foot rubs and right.
And then she checks her watch, Rose, again in that scene.
Yes.
And I love how like Sophia still is laying there dying in the sun.
Yeah.
And then yet she's frying in the sun, and yet Blanche has her umbrella and a fan, and she just keeps fanning herself.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it doesn't even...
Right, and also what was funny about that is that Rose was like, please let me be, you know, your slave, basically. You're being selfish if you don't let me do it. And it's like flipping it, and then poor Sophia's just dying.
Right.
Die very soon.
Really?
I think that's what happened to her. She just died.
They probably just never see her again.
She just died right there.
It's been a week, and she's just like...
They just left her outside.
Oh, my God. And so, then the next scene is the party day.
Oh, but wait. Can I interject?
Oh, yeah, then what happened?
The 100-year, was it Grandma Nyland or whatever story?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they had the surprise.
They
had the surprise party stories.
Yes. The Viking party.
Yes. We got two Rose stories this episode.
Yeah,
not even
like,
just one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
all the episodes like this where like people just get long story monologues.
It's like you need to fill in time. It's
there's
like
so many of them in this episode.
Yeah.
Blanche gets a bunch, but that one, just Betty White just goes off and tells this thing, right?
There's the throw up of back. I remember back in St. Olaf. Like the St. Olaf is a town full of idiots, like
in
where
Minnesota?
She's from. In Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she paints a picture of the town every single episode this way. And so, this story was Grandma Nyland was It was her 100th birthday, and she's from an old Viking town, and she lived in the upstairs bedroom in the barn. That's where we keep grandma. Just get her out of the way. Put her up in the barn. And in the barn, like, they all hid in her barn in the dark at night, I'm assuming.
Yes, and it was for her 100th birthday.
Yeah.
Right, and when she turns on the light,
she lights
her
candle. So it's like up in a barn with no electricity. She lights a candle.
And it's it's probably creepy.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't know who it is. And then they're all dressed like Vikings, and they go, surprise, and she dies.
She dies.
She dies.
She's the only death in this episode.
Yes.
Oh, that's true.
But there's a lot of pain. There's the loss of the leg, and the wolves being beaten off.
Well, then Rose says, we all thought that was such a lovely way for her to die. Like, she's just very Rose. That was such a lovely way to go. Being this surprised by your family. So surprised,
like,
because you live in a barn with no electricity.
Like,
ridiculous. How adorable it was. So glad she died that way.
Meanwhile, Sophia's dead.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
Oh no, they did scare her later.
They did scare her. This is coming. This is coming up. Yeah,
it's coming up. And so it's the party. And Rose bought the wrong kind of ice cream, and it turned out to be Blanche's ice cream. So she's like hauling her at, like, making her haul ass.
Yeah, and she's tricking her, which is weird because Rose has already said, I want to do this
for you.
I'll do anything for you. So she gets the chocolate ice cream, which is really Mario's favorite flavor. But then she's like, oh no, peanut butter vanilla or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I think you're right. Whose favorite flavor is that?
Right.
Oh, it's mine. Like, and it's like she could have just asked her to get both flavors, you know?
Or she could have said, I forgot to get another ice cream for me that I want.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And also, there was four, five people in that party, and yet the table was filled with food. Like, there was, I don't know if you noticed, but there was, like, a whole, like, huge punch bowl of chips and cake and ice cream, and, like, it was like a fruit bowl punch, like a fruit, like a giant punch bowl. It was just too much food for all of those people to
eat. And they didn't
have
any extras at the
party
this time.
Not a single extra to be a party guest, family member, anybody, right?
Nobody.
So weird.
No family.
Like, does Mario even have a family? His name is Mario to me now.
Because he keeps saying that his uncle is the one that he lives with.
Yeah, and the uncle is the one who calls her, right?
Right. That's what happened. So he couldn't be a part of the party. I don't know.
And Tim Burns doesn't get invited to the party. She's just using him for cock.
Right.
So bad.
It'd be great if Sam Burns just
Sam
there
Burns
like,
would be great.
So,
hey,
there's the kid now.
Oh, man.
The ethnic boy.
Oh, man.
All right. And so they, Blanche comes in. No, Dorothy.
Yeah.
I'm like a mom
Sophia.
With all her kids.
Sophia comes in.
First, Dorothy has this newspaper, and that's where they printed the article about Mario Lopez.
Yes.
That apparently, we discussed, INS is on top of.
Yeah.
They're just like,
reading
for
all
some
interested
reason.
Essay submissions. They probably read the runner up, too. Like,
they probably read the runner up.
I took a boat from Poland.
Right. They caught every immigrant that submitted to that contest.
They're the ones that put out the contest. Huh? Like those deals of like free Yankees tickets, and you show up and everybody gets arrested. It's like,
oh my
tell
gosh.
Us your best illegal immigration stories. With
that's
money.
Literally what the contest is.
Like, we should submit to the illegal immigration story, Mario Lopez. You'll totally win it. You win. The prize is deportation. Sorry.
Exactly.
It's so ridiculous.
Oh man.
And so, they're like, oh, he should be here any minute because apparently he just walks into the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because anybody, like, if you have a student that's very good, that you should let him into your home.
He must have a spare key because he comes in through. You would think, oh, he's going to be here any minute. He's going to knock on the door, the front
and
door,
the
ring the doorbell.
He comes in through the garage,
yeah,
which is really odd.
Was that the garage? I thought it was the kitchen.
Well,
the kitchen leads out to the to the garage.
You know the whole
place. Yeah, I know the place. Wow. And so, like,
wow.
Yes.
So he comes in through the garage.
Yes.
Doesn't even knock. I don't know, like, how he had access to getting in.
Yeah, I feel like him and Dorothy were...
They were banging.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I think that's the lesson. That's the lesson
here. The English lesson.
That's why she was... She probably set him up for deportation.
So she's like, I can't get caught.
I can't get caught.
I can't get caught. I don't know how to break up.
He's on to me.
Oh, man.
Very, like Mary Kate Letourneau-y.
Oh, God.
That was two views. Yay!
Yeah, I feel like that house is just like a bang fest. Like, I feel like it's all, even if it's in secret, oh, you know? Yeah. I mean, you know, right. Blanche is banging, but I also feel like, because remember when when Rose asked her to be, if she could be her, whatever it's called,
Wiedenfruden.
Yeah. She was like, can one woman do that for another?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like there's definitely some precious time, as we
there's
spoke
about
last
time. There's some
precious time.
Precious time is when the Golden Girls have sex with each other.
Yeah, I swear.
But in our world, like...
like where Blanche is just like, Rose, come in here for a second. And she's like, go there right now.
We all know they're pleasuring each other.
Yeah, but
I
feel like that's happening in one room, and then Dorothy's like, Mario.
Oh, yeah. You hear the thump, thump, and the shoulder pads hit the ground.
Amazing.
There's a shoulder pad on the doorknob.
Don't go in.
My shoulder pads on the doorknob.
And then she says, can a woman do that to another? And then she says, if they're the same height, which I'm assuming 69ing, right?
Oh, my God. Did they say that if they're the same height?
Dorothy says.
I think you dreamed that.
No, Dorothy says,
really?
If they're the same height.
Oh, that is nasty.
See, they are just sexual deviants.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Or, like, it could be a lot of things. It could be strap-on, standing up action. I don't know. Like,
oh, sexual deviance. Wow.
Sexual deviance going on.
I knew it.
And then, all right. And then Sophia comes in and they scare her. She's like, you're going to need to try harder. You want to kill Mario.
Yeah.
Kill Mario.
Oh.
Oh. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, wow.
So they're like, we gotta kill him with our scare. I mean, they killed the grandma. Okay, so then Mario comes in, and this is like the worst acting, I think, out of all the acting of his.
Yes.
When he's like, oh, I'm so surprised. Oh, I'll come back out unsuspiciously, totally. And then he leaves.
That sense doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those realities that a TV writer would write where it's like, no one will ever do this in real life. Walk in like,
exactly.
Oh, you're in this place. I'll come back in.
Right.
You're like, no,
exactly.
Don't.
What? Like, he's not very bright. Like, they're saying he's bright, but then that shows he's not bright.
Right.
Maybe he should go back to Mexico.
He should go back to where he came from and take that mullet with
right.
him. Don't want to see it.
And so then
it's party
they
time.
Congratulate him.
Yeah.
And then Barbara Thomas is mentioned by Blanche, who we do not...
So weird.
We do not ever hear of her before.
Yes.
She's never mentioned. It is a girl that Blanche knows is into Mario. How does Blanche know about this?
Because she was also calling.
That's just implied,
yeah.
Right?
I heard Barbara Thomas is really
liked your article too.
Really like your
right?
article
like
too.
That.
Who
and,
was?
Yeah. And so I didn't know because it's the only one I've seen. If Mario was a regular, like
no.
if he had done an arc,
no.
And so I assume maybe he did. Maybe Barbara Thomas was on a different episode.
Barbara Thomas sounds also like
Betty Thomas,
a 60-year-old woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why is she so excited about? But
Barbara
no, we never
Thomas.
Hear. We've never heard of Barbara Thomas before. There's a first and only Mario Lopez episode.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, John Thomas is a euphemism for penis. So maybe, maybe to Blanche, Barbara Thomas is vagina.
Interesting.
Yeah, my vagina enjoyed your article as well.
Yeah, this happens a lot on the Golden Girls. I think we've realized where they'll mention someone
who just got cut out of the final
episode.
No idea
who it is.
Do they take this live and then edit it down?
I think they might have done that.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of things that happen on the show, like with that scene, that no one would do in real life. And you're like, why would that happen?
Oh, all of it, right.
Yeah.
All the food for nobody showing up to the party.
Right. And how would the INS guy know that he's there?
Oh, that's so stupid and great. But Sophia's not even at that party, right?
Yeah, she went into the bath, like to her bedroom.
Oh, that's right. She's there, and then she like walks out after she's all huffy.
No.
Did she stay?
She does stay because she puts her arm on Rose's shoulder when the INS guy comes in.
Yes.
And so she does stay for the party.
Okay.
And so
that's it, though. That's the whole party.
But how would the INS guy know unless the uncle told him? Yeah. Why would the uncle do? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Why would the uncle tell INS that he's there?
Exactly.
Or the school? I'm thinking the school gave Dorothy, like, I'm rationalizing, but, which I shouldn't.
It is 100% fake.
Right.
He even says, like, well, we heard that he might be here. It's like,
he might be here.
Have you been outside all day waiting for somebody to yell surprise? Then you knock on the door. Why did you see him come into the round the back?
Right.
It's such sitcom garbage. And also, the idea of, like, I'm going to show up with no papers, no process, and you, a teenager, you're just going to come with me right now. Let's go.
It is ridiculous. Yeah. It would never happen in real life.
And why would the adults not say, like, can you show me some proof of identification?
Because at that point, Dorothy's like the guardian in that moment, right? She's under his care. And so she's able to say, no, you have no papers, you have no evidence. Like, you read a fiction. She could have said you read a fictional story, or she could have said that's not him. You know, there were so many things she could have done, but no, they're like, oh fuck, take him, go.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, take him, guy with a van.
Guy with a van.
Guy with a rape van.
Sam Burns' friend.
Oh, yeah, God. Oh, man. They're definitely
friends.
They're
all on the van.
They're all
for
in the
sure.
van.
Whose earrings are these?
And at the end of the episode, Mario realizes he might be a little gay. So he's like, I have to go. I have to be deported. And he's really like, come on, guys. Let's go do more dick stuff with each other.
He becomes like a prostitute.
He loves it.
Oh, man.
Makes
and
good
that,
money.
And that buffs him off. You know?
Yeah, that buffs him
exactly.
off.
Exactly. Then
he went to high school.
2 years.
Exactly.
At the Palisades.
He turns his life around by the time he's on Zoom.
He goes to Bayside.
Okay, but somewhere in here, and I didn't write down where, is the weirdest, most illogical line I think I've heard in a long time.
Okay.
And it's said by Blanche. It's the second Civil War reference.
Yes.
Oh, right? Yes.
Okay, what she says makes absolutely no sense, right? She's talking about how much she's liking now the Wiedenfrugen, right?
Yes.
And she says, yeah, you know, it's kind of too bad we didn't have this back in the plantation days. We wouldn't have had to fight that, what did she call it, that disgusting Civil War. It's like, wait a second. That's what the Civil War was fought over, was you having personal servants doing everything for you for nothing, right?
I don't think Blanche knows her history. I don't think she's aware.
Like, if only we had had slaves, we wouldn't have had the Civil War.
If only we had white slaves, maybe we would have.
I think maybe that's
what
the joke was. Or like dumb people that would do stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
If only we had Minnesotans.
Yeah, exactly.
There wouldn't have been black
that's
slaves.
How I read it, but I was like, that's weird.
But just saying, but it wasn't specific. If only we had slaves, there wouldn't be slaves.
Yeah.
I am on board with this. This makes no sense.
Yeah, for sure.
And if there were Wiedenfrugen, there would have been a civil war, which means that there would have been no earrings made
from
the bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, there would be no Wiedenfrugen for her in the present day.
Right. And there shouldn't have been one anyway, because she lost the goddamn earrings herself.
Right, right. Which we doubt that they were really even Civil War earrings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
It's a good lesson. Don't be a whore. You're going to lose your earrings.
Yes. They don't be a whore with your friend's earrings.
They did, totally. They looked like shitty, like, costume jewelry. Yeah. Like, they were, like, real shitty earrings, I feel they're pretty bad.
And then, like, Mario Lopez's face when the AI and... Okay, the INS guy is, like, this bald, short Danny DeVito guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It looks similar to the guy at the end.
Yeah, and he seems so sketchy, like, hey, I'm here from the earth.
They both auditioned for both of those parts and the guy in the movie theater. All three of them were like, who wants what?
They're like, okay, three of you are going to play these characters. INS guy, Sam Burns, and creepy mustache movie theater guy.
That guy's so great.
Right. Oh my God.
Man.
You guys get to pick. Look great. Just switch off.
That's why movie theater guy got a credit at the end. Because they're like, sorry, we didn't think you were quite creepy enough to play either of these other characters, but you are creepy enough to be creepy movie theater
in the dark,
guy.
Right. With a mustache alone in the back.
What are you doing back there?
That guy is Ion Mario Lopez. He was like about to sit next to him if it wasn't for Dorothy.
And I agree.
And touches little Mario Lopez pee-pee.
His little penis.
Want to make some money? I can keep you here. Oh, man. I think he ran away, actually. Because, like, why? Okay, if they... I'm jumping ahead a little bit. But if they, like, found him guilty of being illegal and they're deporting him, why would they let him go? Go, you have 24 hours, show up here, and then we'll deport you?
Yeah.
That's not what happens. You know what I mean?
No, all of it was just such bullshit. They take him away, which is like, if you're not going to actually take him and then jail him and immediately deport him, then why take him at all? You know, give him a summons.
Because he can run away.
You're going to have to show up, right? Here's your court date. They take him away. Then she gets the phone call from the uncle that he ran away, right?
Yes.
During that scene where she feels bad because she connects the publication to the to the INS, right?
Which they never really say that that's the reason why.
Right. She just feels
she thinks
like
it.
That must
be.
But yeah, that doesn't make sense because how did they let him run away?
Yeah, like he got... Okay, so he went... Well, that night...
Also, what a shitty runaway.
What's that?
What a shitty runaway.
Oh, yeah. And they were watching The Runaway, wasn't it The Running Man.
He is running away. Yeah. I told you that's the last book that I read. So
Was that the same movie?
The movie is based on it's a Stephen King book. Is based on the book, but the movie I heard is a lot different because like Arnold Schwarzenegger plays the guy, and in the book he's like a skinny. We don't have to get into it, yes, it's a runaway. I mean, it's relevant to the running away.
Okay, that's insane.
Yes.
You read the book. Just the last book you read. And so, like, why would they let him go and do all this stuff? It makes no sense. And so then they're in the kitchen and it's late. And Dorothy thinks it's her fault for putting him into the contest. And then, like, Blanche says something about, she starts to talk about when she went to court. And was a witness.
I forgot about that.
Another great Blanche story.
And she mentions that she didn't have anything to wear. She only had two dresses. One was for a cotillion and one for a hanging.
Hanging, yes. The black dress. And again, another really like heavily Civil War racist.
Yeah.
Right? My grandpappy, caught that guy?
Because this must have been like 1940 or something. 1940s.
Well, she says back in the plantation days. It's like, wait a second.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, you weren't alive.
She says it more than once. Back in the plantation days.
Right.
Well, you're a time traveler? You're 250
I think she's
years
time
old?
Traveling.
Yeah, I think maybe so.
I think Blanche is time because she says her great-grandma fashioned those silver bullets. And that was like maybe 30, maybe 50 years before she was born, which would have been just her grandma if it was during the Civil War, which is 1965 or so. 1865. So it's like, so I think there is some time hopping happening with that. So she used to go back and go to hangings. back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which really makes me question her character.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I already did a little bit with the slutty stuff, and I'm like, oh, you know what, girl? Do your thing. But this really makes me question a lot.
Maybe, like, Rose, maybe she stole Rose's watch in the past. Like, she went in the past, borrowed it, and that's why she thinks she has it the whole time.
Yeah.
Rose doesn't even know. She's like, where did my watch go?
She had no idea that a watch existed. It was, like, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three episodes from now, she gets the watch as a gift.
Oh, man.
Right.
Going deep.
Oh, also someone that could time travel, Zach Morris, and Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it true?
He could stop time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
maybe
random.
Blanche taught AC Slater had a. Okay. All right. We have to move forward with this. But they get the phone call, and it's the uncle. Like, he's gone, and Dorothy doesn't like tell him that he might be at a movie theater. You know, I'm gonna find him myself. You know, and so they all get ready. They all like.
Blanche has an amazing.
Oh, the outfit.
This is
her manhunt.
All of them.
Her manhunt suit.
It was like green from head to toe. Like, not even a onesie. Yeah. Like, a lot of times they're wearing onesies. Like, this was a green shirt, green pants, green shoes,
really, like,
green purse.
Kelly green. Like, right.
She was definitely out looking for a rich man. You know what I mean? She's like, I'm the color of money.
Stone.
Come on. It's very disturbing.
Very disturbing. And so they go to, like, the sketchiest movie theater
right.
in the
and
world.
Right, and why isn't the uncle looking for...
Yeah, where is he at? Yeah.
He's hiding, too.
He's hiding, too.
He's hiding, too. He's like, I hope my essay doesn't get me caught.
I'm going to call that gringo over there and
exactly.
get her the help. She already fucked up big time, Dorothy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when she sat down next to Mario Lopez, I thought Mario was going to be like... Fuck you. It's
right.
all your fault. And now you're telling me not to run away when I could stay in this country. Like, she's telling him to go back to get deported. Not only did you get him deported, but she's like telling him to go back to get deported.
To
There's
go
a
to
weird
court,
thing
yeah.
too, because like the way it goes, they're in the apartment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I think I know where he's going to be. I love B. Arthur's voice. I know where he's going to be. And then the next shot, it's this weird, maybe it was stock footage, but it's of a ticket booth.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And there's a guy in the and it's really poorly lit. It's really dark. Like, where is this? In an abandoned warehouse? There's a movie theater in there?
Yeah.
But there's a guy in there. You can't see him because he's all hunched down, but he definitely has a mullet.
He definitely
yeah.
has a mullet.
So I'm watching and him like, what?
The
this
ticket
booth.
I know,
goes?
Like he has a job. That's
I
where you're finding
him.
Yeah.
Did you
job?
Notice that also the ticket booth stand also had a mullet?
The stand itself?
Yes. There was a like wig on it. Like, and I tried to point it out, yeah. and then it cut to the next scene.
It's really brief.
It's really brief.
It's a very mullet heavy episode.
Right. Like it's like a toupee that I'll show you after the.
Oh my gosh! Please
I'll show
do.
You this ticket booth
oh,
with
so
a
weird.
Wig.
That's amazing.
Anyway, it was really weird, like a giant wig.
But I love that movie theater. It's like six rows. Deep,
yes,
right? That's the whole
yeah.
movie theater.
It really looks like right? one of the porno movie theaters. Like, it looks
because
like
it's
that.
So yeah. small.
Yeah. yeah, it's ridiculous.
And the guy in the back really cemented
with a mustache?
That for me.
Oh, man, yeah. And they sit by him.
He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, comb over, mustache, creepy aviator glasses.
Yeah, like.
Like, he's going to touch himself.
From head to toe. And then Blanche is sitting behind him and she's like, oh, guys, I'm so sorry. I can't leave right now. I just can't stop looking at this man's body. Talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, obviously.
Right.
But that guy is definitely like, oh, I'm going to jack it to this lady's
right.
crazy sexual talk.
Right.
You know
oh,
what
yeah.
I mean?
Like, and I thought he would have, but he was like telling her to shush. Like, he didn't want her interrupting his sexual world inside his mind of
right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But there was, like, a couple. There was a couple right in front of them.
Well,
yeah,
a couple
this
can
is
go
where
to
they
the porno theater.
On the extras that
yeah.
they didn't use at the party. It could have been
yeah.
all the same people.
Right.
That
yeah.
would have been awesome. All the same people at the party. That is a movie. That would be cool.
They were just there.
Right? people of Miami.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But oh, man. So weird that they end up having this, like, what, 3 or 5 minute discussion, pretty loud in a movie theater.
Yeah, really loud. Right? She just starts, like, Blanche and Rose can't say one word without being shushed, but Dorothy can have a whole speech.
Yeah,
exactly.
A whole speech.
Like, a whole, like, let me tell you, Arnold Schwarzenegger was an immigrant, all this stuff. Like, and then Mario Lopez is, like, wearing his, like, and also it's the same night. Like, he's wearing, like, the same clothes.
Right.
Right. And then he just doesn't say a word and then decides to go back. Right. Which I thought.
Decides to go to court.
Has to go to
face his future.
Yeah.
Whether it's
but wouldn't he be, like, still in jail or still in
juvie? Yeah, right.
How
did he run away? That was, like, my whole question.
Yeah, the whole thing. Like, when's the real court date?
He just,
and the phone call comes. Oh, he lost?
He slipped out of that INS guy's arms. He just didn't start and ran away.
He just wiggled out.
See you later.
Well, he can't stop time, as we know from the future.
Yeah.
Saved by the Bell. So probably stopped time,
right.
Then ran away.
He stopped time.
There's a lot of foreshadowing and callbacks in this episode where it's like, oh, his story was about how he loved the movies. Then, he's definitely going to be at the movie theater.
And that's why she knows that he's going to be at the movie theater. And he's among friends. Creepy friends.
Yeah. When you're in America, you're among friends.
Okay. And so that, yeah. So then the scene ends, and then we're in the living room. And it's probably been a few days because it was the day of the trial, and Dorothy's there. She's like, I did 20 minutes of why he should stay here. And then Blanche is like super bossy towards Rose, making her make lunch. She's still her Veed and Flugen. But then we get a knock on the door, and it's Sam Burns.
Oh, man.
And he's so, like, he's almost even hitting on Rose.
Oh, he's so gross.
Yeah.
Well, what I wrote down about this scene, this is my note from this scene, creeper, slutty slut.
Creeper.
Oh, yeah.
Literally my note. Creeper, slutty slut.
That is him.
And he's wearing all tan.
Yeah.
Oh,
head
yeah.
to toe, right?
Right.
And he's bald.
Right.
And he just looks gross.
Yeah.
And
disgusting.
He comes in. And yeah, no, I don't think anybody at any age walks up to somebody they haven't met and says, like, hey, your roommate left all these in my couch.
Yeah. Know, right? Right?
Don't call her.
Yeah. No.
Don't get her.
I'll talk to you.
I'll
yeah.
give
I've
these
already
to
had
you,
that.
Stranger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jetta. Let me try out yours
man.
Now.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want her. I don't want to see her. I only want her for her whole. That's it.
And then, right? And then you already said this. And then he's like, and she left this watch.
Yes.
Right.
Right? That's
she left
the
watch
payoff.
And it's Rose's watch.
Right. It's Rose's watch back from the past.
Back from the past. So
and the future.
In the future.
And the future. And the present.
It's the. Okay. And so the fucking crazy guy gives her the earrings, and then they go into the kitchen because they have a scuffle. Rose confronts Blanche about the situation.
Yes.
You for being a slut, you lost this shit.
Right.
And so now we're gonna talk about it in the kitchen. So they leave to the kitchen. And then we get a knock on the we get a doorbell, and it's Mario. And he's wearing his 12 Angry Men outfit, yeah. Trailing your jurors.
Yes.
Skinny tie. Tied, like, the knot down low. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's, like, distraught.
He's
like,
very
he has
distraught.
To go back. But he has a... But apparently they've given him, you know, 24 hours.
Right.
To, like, say goodbye to people.
Yeah.
Possibly run away.
Yes.
Join the circus.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Right. Makes no sense.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
So he's really distraught. And then Dorothy gets really heavy. She starts to, like, tell him, like, that I'm going to help you.
Yeah. We're going to start tomorrow to fight for you.
Start tomorrow. He's like, I have to leave tomorrow, you idiot.
And she's, like, so, like, optimistic. And he is completely negative about all of
this. He's like,
I'm never going to see you again.
Yeah.
That's his face.
And
either
most of
his
he
lines,
knows
like,
it.
Either tell them goodbye. She's like, no, we're going to see you so soon. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just keeps saying goodbye.
But then he's like I'm going to miss you.
Yeah.
And she's won't even have time because you'll be back here so soon. Back in my
arms. Pussy needs you.
My pussy needs you.
That hug at the door is like 5 seconds short of them getting it going.
Yeah.
It's I know.
It's real long.
Well, she made a lot of mistakes, but I think the first mistake she made was fucking her student.
Yeah.
I think that's how this all got started. Yeah.
Right. By trying to like help him succeed, you know.
His first essay was about sex with her. And then she talked him into making it about being illegal.
I know. He's like, in America, you're amongst friends. So many friends that do friendly things with your penis.
It was really, really sad he had to go.
It was sad.
It was sad that he had to go.
It was sad.
And the thing about that is that Dorothy... we never see him again. She doesn't fulfill her promise.
So he never comes back to the show?
No.
Oh, man.
We never hear about it again. So she just used him for his...
Well, she got another
sweet-ass
pupil.
Little Mexican dick.
Yeah, she got another one, and she was like, well...
He was replaced just as fast.
Exactly. Or she found out that she could do what Blanche was doing with Rose and invite Rose in, and she was like, oh, this is fine. I don't have to deal with...
Right. But again, she was like, I need to get rid of him because he's going to be of age soon.
Yeah.
And he's going to want me. You know what? Also, she could have adopted him.
Exactly.
Yeah. She could have done, if she really wanted him to stay.
Yeah, she could have adopted him for sure. Yeah.
But she's like, fuck that. I mean,
they don't even talk about, does he have family he's going back to?
Where is he?
What's the situation going to be? Are they going to send a minor alone to nobody? Right.
Just leave him at the border.
Yeah. He seems like he has no family.
Right.
Which is really sad.
Right.
Dorothy was his family. It's really sad.
I think he ran away again.
But the saddest part was that he couldn't act. So I feel like it's okay. He can go back to where he came from.
Keep up with your homework. She's going to give him homework for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I'm going to the country.
Write me every day. And then he's like, I ain't fucking writing you, bitch. This is your fucking fault. This is your fault. Fucking bitch.
One thing that I wanted to mention going back to the Rose and Blanche thing is that Rose says, you lost the earrings and my watch. And Blanche is like, or she says to her, I need an apology.
Yeah.
And Blanche says, oh, honey, don't worry about it. Everybody sleeps with whatever.
With Sam Burns.
Sam Burns. Don't feel guilty about it. And then Rose is like, you lost them. Like, it was just really funny because Blanche can't ever take responsibility for doing anything wrong.
Right. Because she's spoiled white woman of the 20th century.
Of the
Civil War.
Of the Civil War. The plantation days. The plantation days.
You know what? I'm not going to give you that watch in 3 weeks. I'm going to have my grandpappy kill all the Northerners with golden bullets.
Golden bullets. All right. And
anyways,
then at the end...
Time.
Dorothy's bummed out. She's
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
She's like, I gotta go lay down. Yeah. I ruined someone's life. and then Blanche and Dorothy, and then Rose, is like, I'll get you some hot chocolate. I'll move the TV in. Then it's precious time again.
Yeah, exactly.
and then she turns to Blanche and is like, you heard her. Get cracking, Blanche.
Yeah.
Because now she's going to make up for her mistake.
Then without even saying, you're going to be my vegan flugan, you're going to be my fucking vegan flugan.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's that bit of pure sitcom acting, the kind that nobody does in real life.
Yeah.
Blanche is alone. She's just been pimped out, right?
Yeah.
Now she's the vegan flugan, and she's sitting at the table taking it in. Oh, man, now I'm the slave. And then also she just gets this little... oh, well, smile on her face, that's life.
Right.
And she gets up and goes to the fridge to start her chores. Yes. And it's just like, no one makes those faces.
No
in
one
life,
makes those
right?
faces.
Yeah.
And then also, at the beginning of the episode, when Sophia says that, what does it matter if your dress looks nice? It's going to be
crumbled
in a pile next to a bottle of Jack Daniels in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she just goes,
I know. She's just like, and the way that she walks too is like very like, ooh, look at me. Like, it's very, it's very like she's in a Broadway show.
There were so many great outfits. And that dark blue and black, like, a vampire camouflage jersey top that Bea Arthur was wearing in one of the scenes. Really dark blue, but like all modeled
up. It was all layered. It was out of control.
Vest sewed in.
The vest sewed
at weird angles.
Oh, man.
The leaf print on the vest.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's out of control.
So good. So good. I also do like how Rose was kind of a badass this episode, finally. She kind of turns, boom, son.
She has a switch. She's definitely badass.
She was super bad. She like dropped the mic. She's
right.
Like,
boom. All right, guys, we did it. I think.
Yay!
Thank you so much, Bob, for being here.
Thank you, because now I know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life is watch all the rest of the episodes.
I wonder if anyone does. We have people that this is their first time watching Golden Girls. And I wonder if they ever do or not, but I'm glad that you will.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so this comes out on August 19th. And so is there any shows that you have coming up after
that? I'm visiting from Chicago. Yeah. And so I don't do podcasts reach across the country?
How do they work?
How do podcasts work?
Anyone can listen to them. We have listeners all over the U.S. And so
then I'll be improvising all over Chicago on August 19th. How's that?
Yay. That sounds amazing. And then people can find you on Twitter
and all that at
Fisher.
And those places. I don't know.
You have a Twitter. I know you do.
I do, yeah. It's called Umlaut Tilde, because that's my group with Jose Gonzalez.
Umlaut Tilde,
Tilde.
That's where I've seen you on Twitter.
I'm the Tilde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So check out Umlaut Tilde. They're so funny.
We had a show this weekend. It was so great.
Yay.
At the Torch Theater. Go see the Torch Theater.
Yeah. Torch Theater. And Therese, where would you be at? Where can people find you online?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at ThatGirlTherese. And as far as shows coming up, let's see, after August 19th, I'm on the Switch show at Crescent Ballroom on September 2nd. And probably some other stuff. On the 20th. Yes, and Anthony, you are also on that show.
I'm also on the
21st, my friends that write for Cracked are coming in town from LA, and we're going to do an awesome show in the Taffy Room at Stand Up Scottsdale.
Yay.
It's going to be really awesome. They came up with a funny name for it. It's called the Unpopular Opinion Rolling Thunder Comedy Review.
Wow.
Yes.
That sounds amazing.
Yes. So... be prepared for that, guys.
Oh, wow.
Be prepared.
I am going to get prepared emotionally. I will be at the crack.com Taffy Room show. And also on August 27th, I'll be at the Lost Leaf at 10 p.m. And you can find me at Anthony DeSimito on Twitter and Instagram, along with our individual the Twitter handles. The podcast also has a Twitter handle. It is at TIFFBAP, which is thank you for being a podcast, but as an acronym. You can also find us facebook.com/ thank you for being a podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, or any other platform you use to listen to us today. The next episode is episode 22. It is titled Diamond in the Rough, if you want to watch it before you listen to us. And you guys have a beautiful day, and thank you for listening.
Yay!
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.